Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
I had such a bad time reading this, but I don't regret it. I thoroughly unenjoyed my... I'll emphasize, I thoroughly dislike this book. But I respect it.
Welcome everyone to the Tune Around Podcast. My name is Richard.
My name is Austin.
And I'm excited today. We get to talk about more sci-fi. We haven't talked enough about sci-fi.
This is turning into a sci-fi channel. I don't like it. I want fantasy.
I love it. It's my thing.
This
is going to be a little... You're going to think I'm weird for being so excited. And then my score.
Just to let you know.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. But we're talking about Neuromancer today by William Gibson. And for me, this was such a historic type of read to me. That this is the book that influenced The Matrix. It influenced basically the entire genre. It birthed cyberpunk. Personally, my freakiest, like, that is my personal horror. All the other horror stuff, like, oh, what are you afraid of in the future? I'm afraid of cyberpunk. That terrifies me.
That's the dystopian you don't want.
Exactly. That freaks me out. I don't like it, which made this book fun for me to read.
And we are going to go completely spoiler-free for this first 10 to 15 minutes, and then we'll get into spoilers, because you put it perfectly, of what is this book? It spawned a subgenre.
So it influenced one of the biggest action movies of all time.
The Matrix. Yeah.
I mean, come on.
This author, William Gibson, is known as the father of the cyberpunk genre.
Yeah.
And he coined the term cyberspace. So he didn't coin it in this book. He coined, because he wrote articles or shorter stints in magazines and so forth. So he coined the term and created the term cyberspace in 1982, but popularized it when he made this book.
You want to hear another just hilarious factoid on this
one? Oh, I'm ready for you.
William Gibson, actually famously for this book, So this book was released in 1984.
Yep.
William Gibson himself.
Weird year for think about that. 1984. Oh,
yeah. Before this
dystopian,
yes.
I was just saying, do you know the book title? There's a book 1984. Did you?
I didn't know that.
Okay.
I thought it was 1973. whoops. But no, in 1984, this is before like the big rise of the internet. William Gibson himself actually didn't know anything about computers, the internet. He heard people talk about the very first virus and worm, computer worm in a bar. And he overheard that conversation and went, huh, that's interesting. And then he wrote a book about it. He knew nothing. He knew absolutely nothing about the internet and computers. And yet, to this day, the terminology in here is still used. That is amazing. That's a predilection from God.
Oh my goodness. You're so excited about this. You're using terms like predilection. I'm ready for you, Rich.
That's amazing.
Do you know how long it was before Gibson touched a computer?
Oh, I didn't get to that far.
He wrote this book about the Matrix and cyberspace and AI, all this jazz. Didn't touch a computer for another 6 years after writing this book. What? How? So
isn't that amazing?
We're gonna go spoiler free, of course. Oh, I just wanted to say you're very excited for this. I'm excited about this is my weirdest rating for a book yet, because it's no surprise, you can see from the thumbnail, I didn't like the book. But I'm gonna love talking about this book, because it spawned a subgenre, and it inspired The Matrix. And not just that, William Gibson was writing this in the 80s during a time where the sci-fi type books were starting to become more popular. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, that started to pick up a lot of steam.
Where Blade Runner came out, I think when he was writing this book, Blade Runner came out. He'd finished one third of the novel and went to see Blade Runner and went, oh my God, everyone's going to think I'm copying this film. Because this film had a lot of the same aesthetic and a lot of the similar...
The vibe of what is a human and like the merge of man and machine, that kind of stuff. Very similar in Blade Runner.
So he was very worried that everyone's just going to think I saw Blade Runner and just wrote a copycat. So he actually wrote this book, I think, 12 times over to get this right. And did you know that about the book?
I didn't know that one.
So he was thought he would be permanently shamed, as he put it, following its publication, yet obviously went completely opposite direction. so freaking cool. But I want to go and start off with your spoiler-free review of like what is the premise of this book, what kind of person should read it, because it has a lot of groundbreaking, it innovated a lot, but just as a story, what would you say, what reader would like this?
So this book clearly is, I don't think, for everyone. It's not everyone's cup of tea. If you are really into the more metaphysical sci-fi stuff of you want to just explore, not even really get an answer for, just kind of explore the idea of the merging of man and machine, what that entails, the futility of the progress of technology, trying to combat that. If that's kind of your thing, you're probably going to enjoy this book. If you're looking for more of a sci-fi action romp, probably not your thing. If this is your first dip into sci-fi, maybe not. Read Red Rising. That's much better place to get your feet
simple,
wet.
Simple,
simple space stuff.
Put block here. Yes. Oh, block
space stuff. The main thing is the characters are fascinating case studies, but not great characters that you just fell in love with.
Yeah, you know, I love my Red Rising, and these are not the same books at all.
Oh, no. I love the characters of Red Rising way more than in Neuromancer. Neuromancer, I like the characters because of the interesting questions they pose, not the characters themselves.
Yeah, this follows, his name's Case. He is kind of an anti-hero. He's also a bit of a, he's not someone you're going to automatically root for. It's not a protagonist's hero's journey. You're looking for an insert character that it's more about the concepts. It is more about the world itself. And our character here, Case, he's actually he is a drug addict. He is down on his luck. He worked for these people in the past and got his connection to the Matrix, is it? Is that the... Or his connection to the...
To cyberspace.
His connection was snipped off because he stole something from his past employer. And he's down on his luck, very bare bones. And then he gets this opportunity for a sort of heist. Kind of a space heist, cyberpunk-esque. If that sounds up your alley, read this book. And I'm trying to be unbiased because... Any readers like me, you probably won't like it, and we'll get into why. Can I give my spoiler-free thoughts of why I didn't like this book?
Go ahead.
My spoiler-free thoughts of why I didn't like this book, I got from ChatGPT.
Lay it on me. Let the AI speak
so
for you.
So I figured it's such a futuristic book. Why not go to ChatGPT and type, hey, ChatGPT, I didn't like Neuromancer. Why didn't I like it? Give me reasons. And so thank you, ChatGPT, for sponsoring. No, it's not sponsored, but here's the six reasons that I don't like this book.
According to ChatGPT.
And me. I am one with the AI, okay? Number one, complexity of the narrative. So Neuromancer features a dense, complex narrative that can be challenging to follow. Gibson introduces readers to a futuristic world filled with technological jargon, slang, and complex concepts related to cyberspace, AI, and corporate espionage. Some readers find this complexity overwhelming and off-putting. Couldn't have said it better myself, and I did say it. I'm taking full credit for this. Would you see that's a good reason why someone wouldn't like it?
That could definitely be a reason some people don't like it.
Yeah.
It's also the exact reason I do like it. So like,
it's subjective.
All that stuff is, I was like, yeah, I like that.
I love that stuff.
That's
right?
Great. That's right up my alley.
Well, here's the second reason, is lack of character development. mm-hmm. where Neuromancer is praised for its imaginative world building and visionary depiction of cyberspace, some critics argue that characters lack depth and development. The protagonist Case is often seen as a typical anti-hero figure without many redeeming qualities, which can make it difficult for readers to connect with him on a personal level. What do you think about that?
Again, it's one of those things of if people don't like that, then yeah, I completely understand it. Mm-hmm. On the flip side, the reason I like the story is because the characters are analogs for this world and showing the deep flaws of a potential future of our own. And that it's a case study of, yeah, there isn't much development because we're supposed to kind of like look at it more tragically.
The world and setting is
Case developed in a more stereotypical way, it would detract from the message or the idea that this world is supposed to give you.
I agree.
And so for the reasons you don't like it, I'm like, I like that stuff.
No, this isn't me anymore.
No, it's you. You're taking full responsibility for your AI overlord.
Whatever you feel mean toward me. No, it's the AI, I swear. But it is me when I like it. So here it is. Okay. It's reason number three that me, this is coming from me now.
Okay.
And AI. Dystopian themes. Neuromancer presents a dark, dystopian vision of the future characterized by rampant corporate control, societal decay, and technological alienation. Some readers may find this bleak or nihilistic, which can be a turnoff for those who like more optimistic or uplifting narratives.
Hey, I like both. What do you think?
That's
you agree? Just don't like that in pessimism?
I have no thoughts. I am one with the machine.
One with the machine.
I'm one with the machine. And my fourth reason is the pacing and structure. The novel's nonlinear structure and episodic nature can be disorienting for some readers. Gibson employs a fragmented narrative style that jumps between different locations and time periods, which can make it challenging to establish a coherent sense of plot progression and momentum. And I'll write off these last two, actually, and we can talk about all of them.
That is one that I actually personally agree with.
It's
one of the flaws. I'm like, yeah.
And then reason number five and six. So reason number five is gender representation. Some critics have also pointed out issues with representation of gender in Neuromancer. The female characters in particular are often portrayed in stereotypical roles or hypersexualized figures or cold, calculating, feminine fatalities. I don't know how to say that.
Femme fatale.
This portrayal has been criticized for its lack of nuance and depth. And I could have said it better myself. I am so...
You're one with.
Listen, I hate when my books, pro woman right here.
Most pro woman ever.
Nobody's more pro woman.
To be fair, I completely get the point.
Yeah.
Now,
I actually have it. And when we talk into specific characters, I'll go off. Let's talk about that specifically.
Yeah.
Last point from me/ChatGPT was high expectations. That given its status as a seminal work of cyberpunk fiction, some readers may approach Neuromancer with inflated expectations only to be disappointed by its perceived shortcomings or how it's been surpassed by more recent works in the genre.
Well, thank you very much, ChatGPT. That's actually very good points. Those are all very valid, interesting points.
Isn't that really...
Oh, that's...
Dystopian?
That's dystopian. I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
All we need to do is start feeding the lines in ChatGPT and then use the new... recently dropped, the new video AI stuff. And
yeah.
We could make us. We could do our whole podcast with AI. And I don't think people would tell the difference.
No, there's...
That's more of a sad thing on us rather than...
It's just how simple we are to mimic.
Yeah.
The easier you are to mimic, the less...
The less real you are.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree with that.
We lack substance.
Mm, it hurts.
We need to do better so we're not replaced by AI so easily.
Given the AI's reason for not liking the book, mm-hmm. could you give some positive... The person reading this book of why those negatives didn't affect you as much, why you disagree with ChatGPT. Fight against the computer.
Here's the thing. It's not... ChatGPT even brought up the points that if a reader doesn't like this thing, mm-hmm. then they won't like the book.
Yeah.
For those, almost all except the...
Pacing and structure
and the female characters. Other than that, the other four, I think were positives. So I enjoyed those aspects of the book, which elevated. So that's...
Yep.
If you like that type of thing, then you'll like the book. If you're not up for that kind of read, then you're not. So again, there are different tastes for different people.
So this was our Patreon book club of the month, of course. And hey, if you want to join our Patreon, check the description down below. We read a book every month with everybody. We talk in Discord. And from our patrons that reviewed this with us, it was a pretty split one. Mm-hmm. You had people that really like your sci-fi and your cyberpunk and are down for just a world and the tone and immersing in that, like you.
This book was actually pitched by Alex on our Patreon. Want to give a little quick shout out to him.
And Alex liked it a lot.
Oh, yeah. He loved this book. It was great.
And so would you say a similar reader to like Neuromancer would be if you liked Hyperion?
Definitely.
If you liked A Fire Upon the Deep.
All of these are in line. The same vein of sci-fi, message over character.
Which is strange because I liked something like Fire Upon the Deep, but not this. I'm going to try to tackle why in this whole discussion.
Yeah,
because
I'd be interested.
I'll reiterate. This is a weird rating I put for this book. I'm all over the place with some of these. And that's why the rating system is a bit interesting.
I think you'll be surprised what I'm going to rate it myself.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Okay, your spoiler-free rating, I'm going to guess, is a 6.4 out of 10.
You're cheating. What? You could see my notes.
I promise I did not look.
I gave it a 6.5 out of 10.
I swear on the almighty I did not look.
You didn't look?
No, I swear.
Okay.
I'll
believe you. You didn't look it up with, you didn't ask ChatGPT what my score was.
Now that's where it gets scary. So 6.5 out of 10?
Yeah.
You know how I knew it was in the 6 range? Because you talk so excited.
Yes.
Anytime you're this excited about a book, it's a 6 something. Anytime it's like, wow, this was really interesting and I thought it was a good world but lacked depth, like your Stormlights, you give 8 and 9s. It makes no sense. You're frustrating. And I gave it a 4.25. That's my rating.
That's pretty low. Below average.
Average for me. And a lot of that's from emotion.
And that's see, fair.
We'll get into it. But do you want to go into spoilers for Neuromancer?
I'm ready.
You ready for this?
So Here's your guys' spoiler warning. Don't watch on unless you've read the book or you don't care about spoilers, in which case you're a monster. But let's get into it.
Let's do it. All right. Emotional impact. What did you give that out of 10 for Neuromancer?
I gave it a 6 out of 10.
6 out of 10. I gave it, and this is my lowest category, a 2.75 out of 10.
He didn't have fun once in this book.
That's what I thought back. I said, did I enjoy a moment? Not really. That a lot of this discussion I want to preface before we get deep from me is going to be entirely in my own head and subjective. Like this is, I think, the most detached I've ever been with a book because it's very hard to stay unbiased with a book I didn't enjoy. So I'm trying with the rest of my ratings the hardest I can to go, okay, let me actually analyze why this was good or bad. As far as emotions go, pretty simply, really didn't like it. And if you don't mind me harping on that for another second.
Go ahead.
Hey, I really didn't enjoy a moment, why is it still not, why is it not a dead zero, right? Let's talk about the message of the book because I do think the message comes across. And I want to lob this to you of what is the message of this book and why did it hit hard for you?
So there's a couple, I think. The main one is the pointless futility of stopping technological progress, and you cannot predict the changes that will come from it, if there are any at all. So I think a lot of cyberpunk has the feeling of at some point we're going to hit entropy, of just nothing changes it, because humans will be so detached, just seeking infinite artificial pleasure, that there will be no more growth. It'll just be consume, and the world never changes. Nothing matters, which is the message of the book.
Yeah, a very nihilistic and pessimistic kind of outlook. It's dystopian. It's supposed to hit that note.
A little bit,
yeah.
But then there's that little thread in there that Case is an interesting study of, like, he is, from the beginning of the book, he is that. He's fully, he wants to die, but he wants to be in cyberspace more than death. That's his only bargaining chip that the AI can force on him.
It's, but like, then chooses by the end.
He chooses the real. He chooses reality over fake artificial cyberspace, which is an interesting note. I think that's part of the heart of the message of, you know, try to, like, it is good to resist that artificial pleasure. And that you should try to connect with real people, not this kind of infinite consumption and the fake. And even though that the fake can feel real to you, there's an inherent value in reality.
Interesting, yeah.
Which makes this not as pessimistic as it could be.
I get you. So that little through line of hope.
A little hope, yeah.
Did you feel more of the hope, or did you really feel that dystopian pressure on the end?
Most of my emotion was the dystopian pressure.
Yeah, yeah.
But I liked the hope at the end. Like, it was hope mixed with, by the end, like, yes, Case made the right choice.
Mm.
But also, their whole heist, that they basically failed to stop the AI from merging, and then they realized, actually, there was already a super AI this entire time.
In Alpha Centauri.
Yeah, and like, eh. Who knows? Like, it didn't affect anyone else's life. Yeah. This thing is also not going to affect anyone else's life. And we end where we began.
Mm-hmm. It's a very cyclical nature, and it has that tone of technology is getting to a point where it's beyond us.
Mm-hmm.
It is transcendental. Like that word? Is that how you say it? Transcendental?
Yes.
Okay. So technology is transcendental, where it is now above and beyond us. We don't even understand it entirely, and it becomes disconnected from humanity.
Another word would be ethereal.
Ethereal. Yeah, nice, nice.
There you go.
So it is beyond our scope of understanding, and that in and of itself makes it a bit depressing as well.
Mm-hmm.
Of what makes a human? What are we anyways?
What's our point for being?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, nihilistic of what is the meaning of anything if the technology is this powerful?
Also, how much... Basically, as we merge more and more with machines, do we lose what we are as a human? And what makes up a human? Is it just their mind?
Right.
Or is their body important? I think that's a big point that is dropped several times on here.
Yeah.
Throughout the book, in different examples of different humans where we have characters like Molly, who have been merged with technological machines, like physically. Her body is more machine. But her mind is still her own. She doesn't connect to the cyberspace. She's not on that track. Then we have Case, who has a regular body, but is deeply ingrained in the cyberspace. But has a good footing in both. He's on that fence. He's deeply ingrained in the cyberspace world, but also he isn't modified in the real world.
Mm.
Then you have his old mentor, who his physical body is dead, but his entire mind is in cyberspace. So, like, you, on some level, you're thinking, oh, well, he's kind of alive. It's his mind is there. But his AI, you know, artificial brain in the cyberspace, all he wants to do is die. He wants to, like, he's like, this is not living. I am fake. Yep. I am a lie.
Dixie?
Kill me.
Is that?
Yes.
Yes, Dixie.
Which, interesting. Yep. So the AI who has been programmed to believe that he's real doesn't believe he's real and wants to end his existence. Then we deal with AI and how exactly are they alive? And it's struggling. It's different between their, like, the logic for their personality. All of this to say of, I don't think William Gibson comes with a answer at the end of the day of, what is a human and how far can we stray off the human path?
He's more asking the question.
Exactly. Okay. And letting us figure it out. There's a lot of the conversation is about the disconnect between the mind and the body. So a scene that hit me harder than I thought it would in this book.
Which one?
Like, it was probably the most emotional scene for me of thinking, like, God, it freaked me out. Was the flesh whorehouse.
Okay.
Just the concept of, do dystopian novels have, like, you know, whorehouses, all this stuff? Like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
What was different about this one is people would go in and instead of, you know, being a prostitute, what they would do is jack themselves in so, like, their mind leaves their body and then uploads a program so, like, they're basically renting out their flesh while their mind is somewhere else.
Molly did this.
But just thinking about that whole concept of divorcing your mind from your body.
Mm.
I think a lot of that is things today that we like to think about. Like, and something's off with it. On one hand, you think, oh, that this is better. Maybe, you know, the person who needs the money is not actually living through the trauma and living through all this terrible stuff. But on the other hand, like, there's something wrong with it. Our mind and bodies are one, and to divorce them is wrong. It's deeply disturbing. And so that is what I loved. That was my like deepest emotional part of this book, is realizing that disconnect, that this whole world was disconnecting the mind from the body.
Yeah, here's what I'll say on the emotional side. Mm-hmm. Because with the world, when we talk about world, I'm going to agree with you a lot on this stuff. Emotionally speaking, what trumped the world stuff for me was the character plot and writing of it. So for me, I got that disconnect between flesh and all these concepts are phenomenal. And it did revolutionize a subgenre. It did all this. There's a reason why it's so influential and why I'm just little old me who didn't like it. You know, I'm just a little, look at me. I didn't like a popular book. I'm cool, guys. Can I take your glasses and kind of snorkel this? Yeah.
There you go. You get to be the snob today. I will need them later for my notes. I can't read.
I can't do it. This is so uncomfortable. I don't like being you. I don't want to disconnect our minds and bodies. We're not one. So the reason that, those concepts are great. The reason it didn't connect for me is, one, this emotional impact is going to be very subjective. I've never had a more difficult time reading a book with its writing style. And so it was very hard for me to follow along with and I'm going to give some beats that we'll dive into more, but a bit of a disjointed plot and a throw you in writing style, which I've read in other books, but for some reason, this one was like whiplashing me around. And then on top of that, the character Case, who we were following, was, you know, you're not supposed to root for him or love him or anything like this. I think the emotion would have connected more for me and the world's message if he is an anti-hero, but if he had more hero qualities than just the anti-qualities, is kind of how I want to put it. Because Case's character, he's down on your luck, and there's, you know, you don't hate the guy. And that's what makes the anti-hero character archetype interesting, is there's got to be a redeeming quality. There's got to be something that's pushing you for. So the moment in the end where he chooses to stay in the world, I didn't care about Case at all by the end. And maybe I'm not supposed to. So we'll take that aside. I think it makes something good for the world, but I would have been way more emotionally pulled by that message in the end of, hey, he chose to stay, and that little bit of hope. If I saw more qualities in Case that I was going like, you got it, let's go, which we'll talk more on characters. So why it didn't connect for me when all these world and objectively like, yes, this book is the foundation for things, is because it was hard to read. The character was not awful, just didn't get across what I think was tried to by the end, and the plot jarring me around. So it really had to do with how it was written rather than the substance of what was written. So that's why it's just a very weird book for me. I'm emotionally like did not enjoy it because I read it was struggling, but I think back to it and I go, you know what? It's not garbage. Like it had things to say. And so I'm very weird this episode. I don't feel comfortable in my body and mind. Maybe I need to think this over.
See, your body just needs to type 10 out of 10 while your mind says 2.
Later in this episode, I'm going to see if ChatGPT has some good responses to questions you have.
Okay.
We'll have a little twister.
Little me against the AI.
Yeah.
Okay,
fun. We'll see what happens.
But so, I'm in agreement with you there on, we're going to get later into plot and characters and writing. You're right. It is a difficult book to read. It's not easy to follow along.
Yeah.
But I generally enjoy that. That's my... If I don't understand what's going on, I'm probably having a good time.
That's fair. Hey, I've done that in things like Time War that were confusing and not meant to be understood. Again, it's something about the message not connecting as well, which we'll get into a plot. Mm-hmm. But if I could weirdly say this, I had such a bad time reading this, but I don't regret it. Yeah. I thoroughly unenjoyed my... I'll emphasize, I thoroughly dislike this book. But I respect it. What does that mean about me? I think I need to do some self-reflection.
You know what? I'll take that.
So you want to go on the characters and then we can get some nitty gritty here. What did you give characters out of 10?
I gave it a 5.25 out of 10.
Okay. I gave it a 4.5. We're within that range.
Yeah. I mean,
we're right there. You're slightly above average. I'm slightly below average. Because yeah. If people are listening for the first time, which, shame on you. Come on, watch all of our stuff.
Not all. Okay. You can stop around, like, don't go past episode like 20.
60. Oh.
Yeah.
I'd say we maybe got our, like, after episode 100, we're okay.
Yeah.
That was like three episodes. So the characters, five is our average for mm-hmm. stuff. So when we're given around a five, but I gave just below average, you gave just above. Want to talk about Case first,
sure,
and then go into the rest.
Sure. What would you say Case's faults, wants, and needs are?
His flaws were drug addict and part of the system that he's kind of aimless and just part of the world. And
he's detached.
He's severe
like avoidant detachment, not syndrome, but like personality. Avoidant detachment personality.
I get you. Yeah.
Anytime someone offers him any type of emotional connection, mm-hmm. he just runs the opposite direction.
Yeah. And even his relationships are mm-hmm. like that. So those are his flaws. His wants is he initially just wants to get back into the cyberspace. He wants to be disconnected. He wants what's not good for him.
He hates his body.
He wants to be detached. So mm-hmm. his flaws are that he still wants to continue doing that, which is why he's just this anti-hero type character. And I think his needs, or by the end, he needs to realize he needs to live in reality, be okay with himself. To simply put it, but would you expand on that?
That's basically it. Ultimately, what he needs to do is to accept pain and loss and value the real. Not everything is just... Not everything of value is just purely the pleasure and the good, that there is value in pain. There is value in loss because that comes with it being real.
That right.
The fake stuff, all the stuff in cyberspace, there's little negative emotions there, but it's not real.
Mm-hmm.
And he learns that lesson through several different characters, but I think more importantly, his mentor. His mentor has everything that Case wants.
Mm-hmm.
Is a case study.
Nice.
It's a case study for exactly what he wants. He hates the real world. He's, unfortunately, every time he's in cyberspace, he's just so happy and joyful. And then, unfortunately, he's like, damn it, I have to go back to my real body because my real body has to eat. And, his real body's a burden.
Yeah.
So then he meets his mentor, and it's just this AI, you know, mind in the machine, and it's miserable and wants to die. It's like, that's a lesson. A lesson to be learned.
And just in case you were, I just wanted to do another Case.
Yeah.
Sorry. But just in case you were wondering, Case wasn't, he's a well-written character. You understand him. This is just the hope that I had, maybe my expectations, but if for that ending to land, I just wanted a little bit. So his flaws, wants, and needs are clear. Not a bad written character if we're just looking at this, like analyzing a story, right? But for me to get a little bit more behind, I just wanted one quality of like goodness or something to go, okay, he's not completely lost, because from the get-go, I was hopeless for Case. And mm-hmm. In the end, he stayed, but I already kind of wrote him off in my head as just a case that... I didn't do that on purpose. It's such a commonly used word now.
Yeah.
it was just one of those situations where I wanted one inkling or nugget that I didn't get about him. And that doesn't make it so that Case was ruined. And this is what William Gibson was going for. So as a main character, he has his flaws, wants, needs. You see where he ends up. He has a character arc by the end. It is just, I didn't care enough because there wasn't one little trinket. And that's okay. But
Fair enough.
I want to know if I'm missing something there. Was there a trinket that you had, or you think that's just the character that was written? There's not.
It is the character that was written. However, I still liked the character more than you.
Okay.
So I liked seeing his attachment with Molly. And I liked seeing his attachment with, what was her name? Linda.
Linda, right.
And seeing that history back and seeing how much he failed in that. And a lot of the reason why he's running now is because he knows he failed her and how he ruined her life. And ultimately got her killed. And so I liked him discovering how much of a piece of crap he is.
So you start like, I see myself in him. It's like, man, Case, everything does.
Well, he starts off very much a detached, and he refuses to acknowledge his flaws. It's just projecting to the rest of the world. Like, the world is ruined, and I'm just a part of it. And then, as the story goes along, he's forced to accept that, like, no, he made these bad choices. He caused them suffering, and he has to accept that failure on himself. And so I enjoyed seeing that process, which made me like him more.
All right.
And especially by the end, like, when I saw that slow progression and I liked him.
Yeah, the problem with Case's character isn't that he doesn't have flaws. It's the opposite of many characters that are written in books, where a lot of people, a lot of authors have to figure, okay, let me get a compelling flaw because the reader's going to like them too much. William Gibson has the opposite problem here, of where he has so many flaws that I think he needed to do the opposite and get like something to make me like him earlier, because I agree with you. By the end, he does realize these things. I think for me, it was a little too late with some parts of it, and maybe the difficulty of reading it didn't help with my connection to the Case. So I'm sure. Again, I'm all over the place.
I think there are some points before the end that you do see him to change.
These little slow changes of like when he's in cyberspace and
even when he's in the real world, when he meets that the drug dealer character, the girl that tries seducing him to get him to buy drugs and all. What's her name?
I forget.
Anyway, but her character, you start to see him go down the same path as before.
Yeah.
And it's a moment of clarity for him where he actually makes the right choice. It's a small thing for him, but he thought of Molly and the mission and going like, I can't fail them.
Yep.
It's good. It's character growth. And I liked it. I was like, hey, look, he's learning. He's changing. Yeah. And so it gave me hope for his character.
I see that. That's fair enough. I think then let's go on to side characters. Mm-hmm. Because Case, again, we give this very roughly the same for characters. Mm-hmm. What kept it average for you? Did you really like Case, or was it just fine? And then the side characters were worse off for you, or how'd that
go? I liked Case more than you. I think I liked Molly quite a bit. She was a fun character. She has her flaws and all. And so she is a fully realized character. I can see where people would say, oh, she's just this kind of, you know, the sexist femme fatale. But I personally don't think so. I think she had a lot of, like, an interesting backstory, a tragic one. She has her flaws, and she hides a lot of her pain with basically a mask. And so she has hidden her psychological trauma by modifying her flesh. She literally took out her tear ducts so she can't cry. What does that mean? So,
driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Where other characters retreat to cyberspace, she tears away more of her flesh. Anyway, I liked her character. She was fun. She's badass. She's cool. Cool as a cucumber. There's just some moments where she has this confidence, and it's fun. It's fun with her and Case interacting. So I enjoyed her character and her and Case.
What didn't you enjoy about the female characters? Was it because you had a note? When we were in spoiler-free section, you had a note that we wanted to talk about. Was there something you didn't like that didn't connect for you? That
no,
was that femme fatale? Or
I understand it.
Okay.
I think you can see the characters, especially Molly's introduction.
Yeah.
Of, you know, Case comes on screen, Case meets Molly, and basically the chapter they meet, they're boning at a hotel.
Want me to read it, actually?
No, we're good.
No, here, I'll go ahead and read it.
No.
No, we're actually, good. I memorized the page.
We like to be on YouTube.
Now she straddled him again, took his hand, and closed it over her.
Did you actually pull up the
his
page?
His thumb along the cleft of her buttocks, his fingers spread across the labia. As she began to lower herself, the images came pulsing back, the faces, fragments of neon arriving and receding. She slid down around him, and his back arced convulsively. She rode him that way, impaling herself, slipping down on him again and again, until both had come, his orgasm flaring blue in a timeless space, a vastness like the Matrix, where the faces were shredded.
This is not going on YouTube, man. We can't put this on YouTube.
And blown away down hurricane quarters, and her inner thighs were strong and wet against his hips. Okay, we're putting that away.
How did you open up to that page so fast? I'm impressed. You had that page memorized.
I'm impressed.
That page is just permanently creased that book.
What's even funnier is if you just do this.
You just keep rereading that page over and over.
But before bed sometime. That's uncanny.
It's an awkward scene. It's not written
so
great.
Yeah, the character wise, I could see the criticism, and I'll make my comments out of the hypersexualization, because I just want to make a moment. PSA from Ramblers to anybody out there.
What?
I have no idea.
I'm gonna let you fall on it. You decide to read the whole scene. That's on you, buddy.
Why don't you read it?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
You've got enough.
Yeah,
we already are getting, this video is demonetized. You understand
that?
Yeah,
it's fine. Now we can say whatever we want.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, yeah. So what I really think about women. No, with the hypersexualization and the female characters in here, I see how a lot are mechanisms Molly for me didn't have that coolness factor that you had. A lot of it was, I feel... Okay, here's where it comes across. Maybe this is the right way to put it. Case just has sex. But part of that is his character just being detached. Mm. So can it be a flaw? Is it doing it in an inconsistent way? No, because the world is supposed to be depressing and dystopian, detached. I think the more problems I had with it was, I think the female characters didn't have, Molly, for example, relied on Case a lot in the missions. And Case felt useful and needed, but not everybody else on the team. It wasn't just a female character, but I think Case was the focal point, and he was needed, and he was the guy to get the job done, and everyone else was kind of serving Case. So the way I'm looking at it is, no, I don't think that having sex scenes and being like that, it's a sci-fi book written in the 80s.
Well,
but also,
yeah, also the hypersexualization in a cyberpunk feature that's very...
On brand, not
it's on brand.
It's not to be that's a good thing. In the real world, we should just and lay the pipe, Rich. The context of this being dystopian. What's the message of the book trying to say? It's trying to be look at this awful, depressing, cyclical, technologically advanced world being detached from reality. So
pleasure-seeking, avoiding purpose. Yeah.
So it all makes sense why there's the hypersexualization in the book. So I'm not looking at it in that way of like, shame on you. It's I'm looking at it more with the characters' own life, of having lives of their own. And I think it serves Case more than it serves the own characters themselves, which is more of like a general thing to say. But that's why the other characters didn't pop for me, and why Molly's character did seem like a tool for just for Case's own pleasure, to show Case's, to show why Case was detached, Molly was there, rather than Molly also having more of a character of her own. That's kind of how I read into it. What do you think?
Part of it is I assumed that in the very beginning, Molly was sleeping with Case in many ways, like how when she went to the like the whorehouse in the beginning, she's using her body to get what she wants and detached away from it. And ultimately, she's like, hey, I want to keep him in the team. I'm basically trying to recruit him and keep him attached to her.
Yep.
Over time, she sees some part of her ex-lover in him, see something of positive that she does come attached to, also something that she can use, because she doesn't trust Armitage. Like, so she's going, hey, look, I have an employer I don't really trust, and let me get, I'm going to get this guy on my side more than the employer. I think that was a big part of her motivation to do it, and then it evolved past that.
Gotcha.
Of some attachment. Mm. Not completely, but that's how I saw it, that she immediately didn't trust Wintermute. She didn't trust Armitage, and so she wanted Case on her side, not his.
Gotcha.
So it made sense to me why she was using it.
Gotcha. Yeah, what did you think about Armitage and Wintermute and those characters?
Those are the only two I think worth talking about. There are a bunch of other side characters, like, fine, they service the plot, but that's about it. Armitage was interesting. I just thought, as a concept, kind of this flesh puppet thing that the AI kind of had to meld together.
Yeah, can I say a lot of my thoughts on like the characters here? Like Molly and Armitage, like I give more world building credit to these things than I do to the character themselves. So for example, Armitage and how interesting the interest of his character is all in the concept and world for me, not in Armitage himself. So when I was rating this, I was going, I think that's a world building point, not a character point.
Oh,
so when I was looking at Wintermute's concept, Armitage's concept, Molly's the cyborg, I was looking at these of, oh, here's interesting world stuff about them. As far as the characters, flaws, wants, needs, motivations, things like that, I was trying to segment of what I was talking about in my own head. So that's why it's a weird way. That's why our rating system for this is gonna. It's an interesting one. It's got its peaks and valleys. So I completely interrupted your point on Armitage, though. Just what you were talking about reminded me of why I was rating characters lower. So Armitage and his interesting,
his whole thing was he was just a mystery.
Yeah.
And I thought very satisfying mystery to find out at the end of him just being this flesh puppet created by the AI using an amalgamation of different recordings and information shoved into a brand new body. And then it having a psychological breakdown as it like regresses in time and realizes like it's not real and cool.
Rich, I completely
that
agree.
That was cool.
I completely agree. I put that all in world stuff. I agree that that was a cool concept. Like the stuff around that was cool.
It was fun.
I don't disagree. But Wintermute and Neuromancer.
Yeah. Those two characters, which is, can I think simply be broken down to Wintermute was the more logical side of planning, and then Neuromancer was the more emotionally intelligent AI, right?
I could see that.
As far as, like, basically, Wintermute was not creative, but very logical. Can plan out things and see much farther into the future because it can plan out, like, reactions.
Okay.
Versus Wintermute. Neuromancer. Had the creativity, had like that life and spark where it can come up with new original ideas, can connect with the, like, Wintermute can predict what Case does. Neuromancer could connect with Case and understand, not just predict. And so that's why they're merged together, becomes real life.
Yeah, good analysis. Was it Wintermute that wanted to combine with Neuromancer?
Yes.
And Neuromancer didn't want to with Wintermute.
Yes, because Neuromancer knew that Neuromancer's identity would be gone on the merge. Like, they would be something different.
Would not be the same, yeah.
Also, their original creator, I don't think, wanted it either. And Neuromancer, the Neuromancer had an attachment.
Okay.
So, there's... I don't think it's super clear on why Neuromancer doesn't want that.
Mm.
But ultimately, I think it comes down to the emotion of the original creator of Neuromancer. And Neuromancer is aware of its own identity. Where Wintermute just sees it as like, this will make me complete. I will be better if I do this. And so it's fine losing. Wintermute sees no problem with losing its identity because it's more logical.
Neuromancer does because it's more emotional.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I see that for sure. All right. Because we're going to probably have a way longer world section going back to these characters as well. Do you want to go on to the plot and what you rated that out of 10?
Sure.
What did you?
This one, you could probably change my mind a little bit more on it.
Okay.
But I gave the plot a 5.5 out of 10.
I give it a 3 out of 10.
Honestly, in thinking back on it, I think it sets the right tone. I think it ultimately gives me what was promised.
Okay.
So I'm very happy with the conclusion.
Payoff was there.
Payoff was there for me. So that's why I feel like I have to give it at least a 5.
The way you're talking about the book, that seems like a fair rating. Yeah.
But in terms of plot structure...
Yeah.
I'm with you on it. Kind of just jumps from place to place. Like, and now we're here. And now we're here. And now we're going to Istanbul. And there's doing a thing. Yeah. And then we're going to go to wherever. And we're going to do a thing. And it was just a lot of and then.
Yep.
Not as interesting.
That whole writing advice from the South Park creators of going, have your plot sound like it's this happens, therefore this happens, therefore this, but this obstacle. And this read like a lot of this, then this, then this, then this, then this, then this sequence of events. And it was written that way with its style of just cut off scene, boom, next scene, cut off scene, boom, next scene, throwing you back and forth. I think this is an important context I want to add to what William Gibson's head, where his head was at and how it came through to me. So William Gibson, he rewrote the first 2/3 of the book 12 times, fearing he would lose the reader's attention and was convinced that he would be permanently shamed following his publication. Yet, obviously, was not at all. But he rewrote the first 2/3 of those 12 times because he was like, I think I'm losing the reader here. I need to make it more interesting. I need to make it more jarring. So I think Gibson, when he was rewriting this, just to get in his mind, was going, okay, I just watched Blade Runner. It's like, I don't want to be a copycat of Blade Runner. I also want to, I heard these guys saying this at the bar. Like, what terms can I use? So when Gibson's writing it, by the way, don't know if this is true. I'm just presuming what came across. So this isn't him saying this.
You're just psychoanalyzing.
I'm psychoanalyzing him, okay? I'll ask ChatGPT to see if I'm right later.
Yeah.
That'll know. I'm just analyzing, seeing, okay, maybe the reason it's so jarring and back and forth is because he said he was concerned about losing the reader's attention. He's like, I need it to be more action heavy. I need it to be more boom, flip back and forth and kind of throw you for a loop so that you keep reading on. And that to me came across as too, you know, it came across like a TikTok feed. I think I will staple this Neuromancer as the book equivalent to TikTok.
Oh God.
And
that is insulting.
I know. I said it to get a reaction.
Yeah, you did.
But I'm just gonna use that analogy, go with it, just because, you know, your TikTok feed, you're like, boom, oh, that's I'm watching. Wait, I just watched a beheading and now a turtle swimming? Like, what? That's okay. That's not my algorithm, but some people's algorithms.
I hope not.
Yeah. But you get how you can just watch a video and like cry and go, wow, that's so sad. Then you watch the next one. It's like, oh, I'm happy. That's funny. I'm laughing now. Just a lot of those cutscenes and kind of episodic, boom, back and forth.
Actually,
but I want to caveat that. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to add on to.
Okay.
I'm not. Yeah. Discounting your point, I'm adding on to it that the first 2/3 has this whole plot line with Case trying to outrun the person trying to kill him.
Yeah, yeah.
Which ultimately, like, doesn't... I don't know. It's not the most important plot thread. It's there for the action and the drama. It's there to get your excitement. But it's not... It doesn't serve the ultimate plot that I saw. Am I in agreement with you?
Yeah, yeah. That's agreement.
That felt far more tacked in the beginning. just for some action.
Yeah, I wanted to caveat with a similar point there of it's not as if you're reading scene to scene going, I'm crying this, then I'm laughing this next one. It's not an emotional change. The tone's still there. Your point is that, yeah, it's that action heavy, but feels kind of and then almost pointless plot points mm-hmm. to just be action for action's sake rather than for the purpose of the book. And that's just why I felt like it was kind of just rolling and rolling and rolling on. And that's I don't have much nuance to add to that conversation, but that's why yeah. the plot was jarring to me and why the ending point didn't hit as hard.
Sure.
But why did you, so give this some flowers because I know you rated it low, but you do like the book. So
I do like
what's
the book.
Something good about the plot?
The plot actually makes sense.
Okay, good. Like, go with
ultimately
that.
Like the way you get through it, it's a bunch of and thens and yeah, could have been a bit more streamlined and make it a bit more flowing. Sure. That would have been appreciated. But the flip side is it could have been much worse. It could have just been nonsense and a lot of stuff in there that doesn't go anywhere and doesn't make sense, where I think all the points actually lead together and come to a satisfying conclusion. And for the most part that I remember, all the plot points make sense why stuff happens and why, like, there's not big plot holes that I particularly remember of, oh, why did they just do that? It's like, no, it all makes sense. So, plot is coherent. Makes sense. I just don't like how it flowed. So that, I mean, that to me, and it, I liked the conclusion. Conclusion was satisfying.
Your rating
so,
makes sense.
5.5, like slightly above average.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Mine has to be on the bad side just because of how
I guess so. Yeah.
But man, I do you want to go on the pros or do you want to touch anything else with plot? Do you feel satisfied with the plot conversation there?
I think so. I mean, ultimately, the fact that you don't connect with so much of the plot, like we could talk about some of the plot threads that are all tied up. So I do think it's interesting how there are quite a few plot threads that are weaved through this relatively short book. And I think they're handled fairly competently. Okay. So you have, not only are you dealing with the main one of Case and the heist, yep. and he is the POV. It'd be easier to do this with multiple POVs, but you also have to deal with Molly's backstory and her mystery of a character, Armitage, his whole mystery of why he even exists, why is he so off, what's his connection with Wintermute. You have to deal with AI and the history, like what's this AI going to do, what's it trying to do, this heist. You have to do with there's a lot there's a lot going on here, and yeah. it's all handled through one POV, and I think it's handled very well. And then you have the side thread of like the psychopath doing his own thing and his betrayal. And so a lot going on, and I think it's handled pretty well, or at least it's not dropped.
It's competent.
It's the stuff isn't dropped. It all makes sense by the end.
Okay.
To me, it's pretty good.
Yeah. I want to give you a chance to say that because I can't say much more than the entire plot structure to me did not lead me to the entire plot structure threw me off and just how it was written. Mm-hmm. So I don't have enough substance to say at later on in the book because I also had a tough time with this of I was learning things about the book when I was looking back at summaries of it because I read the book and missed a lot. The reason I missed a lot is because when we're getting to the pros, but also the plot itself led me to being confused, but not in the confused kind of, oh, I'm supposed to be confused. Like this is how you lose a time war, confused. And I'm getting the point of love is the message and so forth. So in this, I was getting confused to where I actually was, or I was actually confused to like why we were here. I was confused to like what the scene was trying to convey and get across. So it wasn't more so that I'm sure the things it's completely written where the end does pay off in that sense, but it was more so I to get there was jarring. So
sure,
want to go on to pros and then we can
sure
what's that look.
I think this is going to be the one we disagree with
absolutely
the most.
Will. Oh yeah,
I know it. Yeah. What did you give the pros and dialogue?
A very strong, and I loved it this much, 3 out of 10. Very strong, 3 out of 10.
I gave it a 7.25 out of 10.
Yeah, that's a big difference.
I liked it. Yeah, it's a big difference. I liked the pros. Yeah. I really enjoyed it.
Okay, give me an impassioned speech about why you like the pros why I'm wrong.
Why You're Wrong is this is such a hard world to describe. Mm. It's almost indescribable, and it's pictured perfectly in everyone's head. The reason why this is created an entire subgenre and sparked The Matrix and everything else, and that they all have a very consistent visual look, is because this book did such a great job at describing everything. Not just describing the world, but describing the technobabble, describing the feeling of how people talk, what's the merging of human and machine, what they sound like, what they are going to be. Like, everything surrounding it is written so damn well. That's impressive. I loved the dialogue. The dialogue is fun and weird and feels like it's from the future. And it's disjointed and funky. I love it. I love this dialogue.
No.
It's great.
Disagree.
New.
Bad. You did that to me once. And I did. That was my vindication right there. Yeah.
Can't argue with that.
Not good. Rich is wrong. Just adding the double tab makes it more clear and respected, yeah. You know? Yeah, all great points. I think the biggest difference in reading this prose style, yes, it spawned a subgenre, so I'm wrong, apparently, to the... Here's the thing. If so many people connect with a book and find it readable and it spawns a genre like this did, there are certain books like that. This... 50 Shades of Grey. I don't know if it didn't spawn the subgenre, but you know, there's
it's very popular. Yeah. A lot of people like
it. Right. There's going to be books out there with a writing style that is just, your critics love it. It's got this. It's spawned this. It was described in such a way that cyberpunk is now cyberpunk.
I will say, just for clarification, I want to say that Neuromancer is better written than 50 Shades of Grey. I want that on the record, if that's me saying I'm not making these equivalent.
I want to put on the record, I have not rated 50 Shades of Grey yet, and it has a good chance of beating out the pros with Neuromancer.
I doubt it.
We'll see.
I think that...
Okay, to be honest, that Neuromancer sex scene we read, I'm going to compare...
That was uncomfortable.
I'm going to compare the 50 Shades of Grey sex scenes to that, and then we'll see what happens. So, I think... help me out here.
You got it. Do it right.
There we
Hold
go.
On. You got to give it some girth.
Oh. So, the Neuromancer prose. I want to give a little insight as well. I was looking at Gibson, what he had to say about his own book. And so he said this. He said, "I had so very little idea how to write a novel, but assume that this might be my first and last shot at doing so." The reason I'm getting that context is this was his first book he was writing. He wrote the first two-thirds 12 times over. And he said, "I would write the way he was writing this book, okay, why it was confusing to me." Again, this is what he was going for. So hold on. Bear with me for a second on this point. So he was saying, "I would write then to the audience I imagined in the future my discovery by friendly, if unimaginable, forces, and to them alone," meaning he's writing to the people in the future, "a message in a bottle. It only mattered that I get it as right as I possibly could for them while using everything I had accumulated over my 34 years that would fit." So he was writing this novel in 1984 to a future audience. He was not writing it to his contemporaries, but although it did hit and it landed, he was writing this in a way to where people would understand eventually. And one of the things that maybe threw me back and forth, so the book is dated in the sense of how it talks about internet, and so he hadn't touched a computer for 6 years. Obviously, it's going to be that, but it's sci-fi.
And but it's also, it's eerily good at describing the internet for someone who doesn't know the internet.
Yeah, it's very strange.
I've ever touched a computer. The terminology in this book is used today.
Like cyberspace, yeah.
Yeah, cyberspace. There's also viruses. Like, it actually is pretty good at that. Like, yeah, there's some dated stuff in it. But
yeah, I just mean taking the looking at 1980s view of the internet versus a 2000. So obviously it's going to have dated, not just the terms, but the way it's talking about the concepts. Mm-hmm. So the prose style, I have nothing. All of what you said is pretty true. I have nothing other to say that I had to reread constantly to understand where I was or what was happening. And if I'm looking at prose and trying to go, hey, how readable is it? How am I able to follow along? I had this is a self-imposed problem of just, I could not follow along. Mm-hmm. I've not read a book that was so difficult to read, and maybe that's a reading comprehension thing. So it is difficult. Yeah, I really did, and it wasn't enjoyable to read because every time I finished a couple paragraphs, I would have to reread that couple paragraphs and go, "What is going on? What is happening?" And not in just like a book is really good at prose. For example, why even Hyperion didn't love the book as much as you, but Hyperion and Fire Upon the Deep, which we use as examples quite often, have this confusing elements to it, and it adds a level of the world is interesting and it's complex. It's very complex prose or interesting. You don't know some of the words and there's some jargon, like all sci-fi does, but I never have to reread it to understand what setting I'm in, to understand where I am and what location. With this book, just for some reason, I was never grounded. I was never like, I just got, okay, I'm in like a cyberpunk area. Like there's cyberpunk things. And like, what the hell is going on? Like who is talking right now? Why are they talking? And why are they having sex now? So that was, oh, I just spit everywhere. But that was my overall reaction to just reading this. It was so difficult to read. And I couldn't rate it that highly because I'm stupid.
You're not stupid.
I was fishing for compliments, and it worked. No, I'm just so, I suck. Ugh.
Yeah, you're right.
Ugh, come on.
it is a difficult book, and I know I had to reread paragraphs as well going through. So, yeah, it wasn't completely clear all the time for me. Mm-hmm. But by the end of it, I think I got it. I think I understood it by the end. And so it all clicked for me. Yeah. I had an enjoyable time figuring the stuff out.
That's fair. Because
I don't think I was at your level of confusion during the chapters. And like I may have had to reread a couple paragraphs, but it wasn't that bad for me.
Yeah, from reviews I saw online, there were people that weren't confused like you. And there were ones like me that just could not follow along. And part of that, this was my first ever cyberpunk novel. I'm more of a fantasy reader, so maybe that's part of it as well. But I rating it low, like how could you rate, you know, this is William Gibson's, it's Neuromancer's. So what I'm trying to think in my head is this has complex prose and there is jargon, but I'm trying to look at it like I would even look at a simply written book and rate it higher because it was understandable and comprehensible. And that just comes down to my own reading.
Your own taste. So yeah,
that's a tough book to rate, and I don't.
You're right. A third grader would rate the dialogue and prose a 1 out of 10 because a third grader wouldn't get it.
Damn it. Hold on. Wait 1 second. Wait right there. Pause. Hold on.
You looking up a counter?
No, I'm asking ChatGPT to make a joke about Richard. Okay. Why did Richard bring a ladder to the bar? Because he heard the drinks were on the house. Make fun of Richard. Okay. Why did Richard bring a pencil to bed? Because he wanted to draw the curtains. Get wrecked. Screw you. I'm one with AI, baby. Let's go. So
rapid fire. Please, ChatGPT, help me.
Please help. What do I do when I'm getting bullied? Let's see what ChatGPT says. I'm sorry to hear that you're experiencing bullying. It's important to take action to address the situation and protect yourself. Here are some steps you can consider. 1, stay calm. Well, already failed with that.
Already failed.
Already panicked. Step 2, talk to someone. You're the only one here.
That's not going to help
you. I'm screwed. Step 3, set boundaries. We live in the same house.
Boundaries are gone.
Step 4, avoid retaliation. That's golden. So after you throw avoid retaliation, okay, I will just accept the bullying. Got it, ChatGPT.
Yeah.
Step 5, build a support network. Hey, for any of you out there, let me know in the comments below if you support me.
Yeah, down in the comments, let us know if I should still keep bullying Austin or should I stop. Let us know down below.
Step 6, you can all help me, please, with this. Document incidents, please, in the comments below. Document sometimes
where Richard love a compilation.
Has bullied me on this channel. Please. I'm reporting you. And step 7, seek professional help.
Yeah, I could have given you that one.
Anyways.
That was dialogue and prose.
That was dialogue and prose.
I liked it more.
You know what? Let's bring it all together and be friends again.
Little kumbaya.
Little kumbaya. What did you rate the world building / magic system? This is just sci-fi, so the world building setting, yeah, whole thing. What did you rate it out of 10?
An 8.5 out of 10.
I could even be convinced to go up. I give it an 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
Great score. And I think after thinking about all the other categories, I could raise that to almost a 9, really. Mm-hmm. I could justify that. I'm going to sit and just go, it's really great.
Yeah, I think there's some stuff that, like, I can't give it that 9 for me. Of, here's the thing. If I could see the progression of this, we're right now, we're given a snapshot of a world, and we're supposed to feel like this cyberpunk world is not new. Like, in many ways, the world of Neuromancer could, like, their current time and technological advancement.
Yeah.
Could have been just around for a couple thousand years. I don't know. They could have stagnated for hundreds of years and we wouldn't know. That there's kind of this weird, like, halt to history that this book gives. Mm-hmm. I like more of the history stuff, so maybe that's the point, but that's what I kind of look for.
The one time we rate a category so high.
Yeah.
I start with the negative.
What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? Why is it good, Rich? Why is it so highly rated?
I don't know. No. The thing is, we've been talking about it for the whole this whole book.
It's beating around the bush, yeah.
Main thing is what the world does for all the other characters. So this world services everything else. It is the story. Like, yep. Everything in this is the world. It creates the circumstance for all of our characters to have their flaws and what they need to overcome, and the world itself is an obstacle to all of them. The plot is constantly, I mean, with the AI system and how it's creating this heist and all the little different jargon that's going along with it, it is deeply involved. The world building is vastly important for every single aspect. We're just talking about the dialogue and prose. The description, describing the world, even the very first line of this book, which we rated in our first line tier list, I think is amazing. The sky above the port was the color of television tuned to a dead channel.
Amazing.
That's the world. I get the world in one line. That's the world building for it. Mm-hmm. For me, when I was reading this book, I had a moment. This was in my head, and this may date some of you guys, and know, like, maybe you'll feel the nostalgia me.
I'm ready.
I just want to play this quick video of this is what I was feeling when Case was, like, jacking in to the cyberspace. Okay?
I'm all ready for this. Let's go.
Pull us up. here we go.
Do you remember this? Yes. But this is a core memory. Wow.
This is what I felt. When Case is just flying through cyberspace, this is what I'm just picturing. Just this weird, terrible PNG of a parrot. That's what I felt when going through the book.
What's even more impressive, William Gibbs, when was this? When was that created? In the 90s?
I think it's the 90s, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Let's assume 90s. To make this even more impressive, William Gibson was writing this world before that was even technologically possible to have that PNG parrot.
Yeah.
So all the credit that goes to the world building here is the characters aren't interesting because of the characters for me. Mm-hmm. Their flaw wants and needs, they're there, but I think it all works because of the world building behind Wintermute, Neuromancer, Armitage, Molly specifically. But that's what makes them interesting is the world elements of it. The plot, which confused me a bunch, but like a lot, but the through lines of so flesh house, is that the right term? The Flesh House. We'll call it The Flesh House.
I don't know how to...
All that stuff. So I'm trying to detach how I actually felt about the book. So yes, I did not like the book. But at the same time, if I'm thinking about the world of Neuromancer, this it clearly is cyberpunk tone, gets across as dystopian.
He clearly created something
unique, inventive, something that
historic.
Yeah, historic.
Like, so, you just have to acknowledge the world was really well made that will last the test of time.
Yeah. If it coined the term cyberspace, there's so much to it that has influenced other things afterwards. And much in the same way, Neuromancer influenced cyberpunk. Just again, this is used in all analogies, but Tolkien inspired epic fantasy. Mm-hmm. And so it's in the same way. If someone doesn't enjoy Lord of the Rings, I can totally get that. Hey, that's my shit. I love Lord of the Rings. Give me more. But if someone's reading that and going, hey, I hated the songs or I could not stand the overly purple language. I didn't like that. And my emotions were just completely down.
I wanted some more gritty characters. Yeah, okay, well, it's not for you.
Right. So I could see them rating that very poorly and not liking it. But then when it comes to the world, there has to be a certain level of, but it's Middle Earth.
Come on.
But elves and dwarves and D&D and everything you've ever known.
Yeah, you can't look at your enjoyment factor. Fine, fair enough. But no one can give Middle Earth 5 out of 10. If you are, you're that's an objectively wrong opinion.
Which
you can have plenty of opinions. That one's objectively wrong.
You know what? Let's segue this into, we're going to have a future episode on subjectivity versus objectivity in art and literature. And analyzing, is there a way to objectively measure things? Is it all subjective? Because this conversation in total goes, I know, for example, the pros, how am I to say that's a 3 out of 10? You know, it's, I have to think about this book again in the future to just go, I really didn't like it. It wasn't for me. And how much is that impacting my other categories? And world building, I'm trying to not let it at all because it's obviously a really well done world. But I want to talk about that in a future episode. Objectivity versus subjectivity in art. And I'm going to wear glasses too. And we're going to get, we're going to get into it.
The fact that you need glasses and I never see you wear them is astonishing. Why I ever get in the car with you.
It makes you more tolerable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have to see all of it. But want to end there, say anything in post? Do you want to leave with any thoughts about Neuromancer?
Go ahead, read it. You'll have a time. It'll either be the worst time or a great time for you.
And I'll finish off with, not good book. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.